friends that are listening, you know what they say, though, friends are your family. So, hey there, family. It's great to meet. I'm Daniel, and you are?
I'm bummed, Daniel. I'm bummed.
I'm pretty sure you're Bob.
You were hyping it up. You were hyping up that intro just like there was no tomorrow. You're saying you had a great intro inspired by our topic, and that's what you had. That's what you gave us.
Yeah, I did. Because, you know, this is a very awesome episode, I think, of the Gosh Daniel podcast, because this is our official review of the Lego Batman movie, and we know it's been out for... Yeah, it was really good. It's been out for a little over a week now, but we figured, you know what, we're still going to review it, because we're cool like that.
I saw it a while ago. It took a while to convince you. Actually, our last week, I wanted to talk about it.
That's true,
and,
yes.
And you didn't, because you hadn't seen it. Didn't you just see it today?
I did. Okay, so it was all just kind of crazy how the whole thing worked out, because we were planning on doing other things for this episode today, but all of a sudden, shout out to my aunt, she just kind of came and she was like, we're going to a movie. And I'm like, oh, we're going to a movie? Okay. Well, I gotta see the Lego Batman movie,
well,
right?
That's nice.
And then we're like, oh.
Free movies.
Yeah, like, movies, greatness. So we saw it, and like the first thing I did was text Bob, and I'm like, okay, I'm seeing it. And then he's like, okay, we're gonna record. It's gonna be the next episode.
Yeah, full spoilers.
We're gonna review
full spoilers.
It. Yes.
It just it needed to happen included. Because not only is this is a great, I think it's a great topic, but it's such a good movie. Like it's yeah. not just like, well, we should talk about this because we both saw it, but I really, 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 really thoroughly enjoyed that movie. I thought it was amazing. I'd give it 5 Lego pieces of 5 Lego pigs out of 18.
18 Lego pigs? So wait.
So out of 18 Lego pigs, I'd give it 17 out of 18 Lego pigs.
Okay, I'd probably give it 16.7 Lego pigs. So like that one little last pig is kind of cut off there. Maybe he doesn't really have a head.
Maybe
poor
it
pig,
lost
but
one of its legs.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah. Maybe someone thought that was what you make bacon out of, is the back of a pig's thigh.
That yummy Lego bacon. You gotta have it. So what's the first thing that we're going to be discussing about this movie? Because there were so many good elements that, I don't know, like Warner Bros.
Warner Bros. Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah, Warner Bros.
That was, I actually do think it has the greatest opening to any movie.
It totally does.
That I've ever seen. And that is why your opening to this episode just totally made me depressed. Because, you know, best opening to a movie, worst opening to a podcast about that movie.
Well, I mean, I think there's some parallels that are going on here, and I think they're very valid, so...
We're going to be the complete opposite of the Lego Batman movie in talking about the Lego Batman movie.
Exactly. But, yeah, that start of that movie was literally... It was legendary, honestly. Like, it was so... It was, like, one of those movies where it had, like, these, like, really serious moments, and it was, like, some of them were, like... It was actually really touching, but, like... You just couldn't help but laugh during them. Like, that's what happened when I saw the movie. I was just, like, cracking up at these, like, really, like, sad moments. And I just, it was great. Yeah.
Yeah, like, when they were both in the prison and Robin was all sad and Batman was trying to, like, cheer him up or be, like, a father figure again. And he's like, well, how about we try some beatboxing? And
boxing, but, he's like, yeah, what? It's like beatboxing.
It was pretty good.
It was good. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, just hearing Will Arnett's voice in a really deep tone is funny in itself. A whole movie around that is literally just the greatest.
It's like taking the best part of Arrested Development and just making it a whole Batman movie.
Precisely.
Like, that was terrible. It's not really what it is, actually. So don't listen to anything I say in this
episode.
Like
we said... it's going to be the opposite.
Lego Batman movie. But Lego Batman movie was meaningful. This is just a piece of garbage.
We're about positivity here at the Gosh Dana podcast. We need to remember that.
Okay. Can we maybe talk about some of the references? Because my guess is that you being sort of a superhero nerd would get a lot more of the references than I got, because
did you get the shark repellent?
I did.
Shark repellent.
But okay, I only got it after the fact.
Okay. Because like the moment he said, "Can I touch the shark repellent or whatever?" I was cracking up so hard because that old like 60s Batman movie was my childhood times, but I had seen that movie so many times when I was younger, and it was always the shark repellent, man. It was always the shark repellent, and it was legendary. Okay,
that's pretty great. Yeah. So yeah. I guess the shark repellent was actually in that 60s movie or something like that.
Yeah. So they were like dangling off the helicopter in the 60s movie, and like all of a sudden a shark like bites Batman's leg or something like that, and the Joker's like, a real fishy joke that like pulled your leg or something like that, some really bad pun, I guess. And he's like, "No, Robin, shark repellent." And he's like, "I got it, Batman." And then he like hands him the shark repellent, and then he like sprays it, and the shark like falls off.
That's just the stupidest. That, wow. Yeah, that's.
It's great. Yeah,
it's pretty. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think there was also cheetah repellent or something like that. I remember that in like one of the Batman TV shows, but that was another thing. Yeah, that bat belt was real convenient when the times were tough with the animals. Yeah.
But that's what's actually really, really great about this movie, now that I think about it, is that you didn't need to get that reference for that to be funny. At first, mm-hmm. you're like, "Oh, that's stupid. Why is there bat shark repellent?" But then... Mm-hmm. When there's sort of a callback later in the movie, and he's like, "Oh, it was useful after all." That was funny too. Like, you didn't even need to get the reference to get the joke. And mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that I guess a lot of reviewers didn't really take into mind. Like, I've seen like one negative review for it, and it was just it was more about the references. Like, I didn't get a lot of them, and they were so diverse, I didn't know what they were from and stuff like that. But what was great about it is that it wasn't like you could tell you're missing a joke throughout the entire movie. It's like you couldn't even tell you were missing a joke because there was a joke about the joke.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying, though, because sometimes when movies reference things, you don't get it, and you, like, oh, it's just, it was for a specific audience at that point.
Yeah,
but the way that they reference things...
Like the way
things...
in Rogue One it centers on the blue milk. Like, that's mm-hmm. something where you're like, it almost seems like it's focusing on this thing, and I don't get it. Or, like, with Dr. Ivazan and Ponda Baba, that's probably a more accurate representation, because I've heard people have actually missed that when they first saw it. Like, for example, I guess I did too, but, yeah, so
you can count on Bob for the Star Wars reference and the Star Wars throwback right there.
You certainly can, but Dr. Ivazan and Ponda Baba pop up, and it like spends a really long amount of time on them in such a way like there's almost like fanfare about it, just the way it's filmed, and that's cool, and it's great for Star Wars fans, and I don't really have a problem with that. I know a lot of people do, but at the same time, it's annoying for people who don't remember that from Star Wars or haven't seen Star Wars because of that fact. Because you can tell that it's a reference and that it's a sort of an inside joke, but at the same time, you don't get it, and it's not, like, good within itself. It's just a reference. Yeah. And I think Lego Batman movie didn't really do that. They made it so you'd either just completely miss the fact that that was a reference, or you wouldn't know it's a reference, but it would still be funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely one of the enjoying, like, that really made you appreciate it, though, yeah. Because there was, like, you were bound to get a few references. Like, geez, they reference so many things in pop culture today and in the past. So, I mean, even if you didn't get all the references, you're bound to get some, too, which was also cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, so did you catch any other references? I mean, like, of course there were a bunch, but what kind of stood out to you?
I don't know. I think a lot of like the, gosh, you know, it's been like 2 weeks since I've seen it now because we waited so long.
Oh yeah.
I don't like. I remember catching like a bunch of them all over the place, but like I don't remember many other than like when it was referencing one of the other Batman films.
Yeah.
I thought those were really good. I really, really liked Commissioner Gordon. I thought that was great how he's just happy there and he's just pushing the bat signal button over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. Oh, that's great. But, okay, you remember in the beginning, though, when the two guys, it started the movie and the two guys, the pilots were in the plane and that's when, like, the Joker hijacks the C4, like, the plane
full of
C4s. Oh,
yeah, and it's called MacGuffin Airlines.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay, I actually wasn't even talking about that. I wasn't even talking about that. But, yeah, MacGuffin Airlines. Wait. MacGuffin Airlines. What was that a reference from?
Well, because a MacGuffin is, you know, that thing in a movie that, drives the whole plot, even though it has no value within itself. For example, like the cube in the Avengers movie.
Oh, MacGuffin.
Like that.
Yeah. And
that's like a MacGuffin. So I don't know. I caught that.
That's cool. Yeah, I actually missed that. but like when they this isn't so much a reference, I guess. This is just something I found really funny. But like he was like, "Oh yeah, we have our whole team and then like villains or whatever that are attacking this one place."
Oh yeah,
and
like Pencil Man.
Yeah, in like Condiment King or whatever, he started going through like all these really random villains. Mm-hmm. And he's like, are those even real villains?" And he's like, "Yeah, Google it. You'll find out."
Worth a Google.
Because, I mean, DC definitely had a lot of strange villains at times, so, that's great.
The only one I actually did recognize that was supposed to be an obscure one was Pencil Man. I don't know how.
Pencil
Man. But I think I knew that Pencil Man was a thing. I did not know about Condiment King.
I didn't know about Condiment King, but I just knew that there were a lot of DC villains that were kind of like that, you know?
But Condiment King sort of reminds me of that weird glue guy from Spider-Man. What was his name? He would just, like, shoot glue everywhere.
I don't know his name, but yes, I totally
remember. He reminds me of that, yeah. Just with mustard instead of glue, I guess.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, what'd you think of... Okay, I remember when you came out of the theater, or we were talking about it after you had seen the movie, and you told me, like, one of the things that you were kind of disappointed about was how they didn't really, you know, in the Lego movie, they introduced the aspect of, like, oh, these are actually just real people playing with these Legos, and, like, they went out the world, and, like, you know, the little kid, it was actually a other plot line in the real world where the dad was trying to glue all the pieces or whatever.
Yeah,
and
so...
In, like, the real world, there was the weird portal or whatever. So, you were talking... I remember you told me, like, oh, they had, like, some kind of slight references, but they didn't actually go into that like they did the Lego movie. So, were you disappointed, or
no,
was that...
I wouldn't say I was disappointed. I mean, I think it was just a distinction of this as being its own movie, and it didn't really try to ride too much on the coattails of the success of the Lego movie. It sort of did its own thing. I mean, obviously, it's still the Lego... blank movie, and so people it's obviously titled, and also obviously it's the same animation and everybody knows it's like that, so mm-hmm. they're gonna go see it anyways. But like the way the movie's story went, it wasn't like it was trying too hard to be like a sequel or something. And I actually didn't have a problem with the fact that it wasn't super meta. I was just noting that as a difference. I mean, they did have some references, like did you catch the one where they're in the Phantom Zone or whatever, and Batman's mm-hmm. like, what if I captured all of them, and whatever, and the talking brick thing was like, oh yeah, she might like that. Like that sort
I
of
did,
thing. It was
sort I
of
did,
meta,
yeah.
referring to like a little girl is playing with all these Batman toys, and the fact that the bricks, not the bricks, the base plates, and that's what the mm-hmm. whole world is on these two base plates, like that seemed very meta to me. But
I totally
didn't go,
agree.
Like, overt, like, let's have a live-action scene in it.
Yeah. I totally agree. Because I caught the she thing, but I didn't actually think about connecting the dots to, like, oh, yeah, that means that's just the person who's playing with him. And the thing is, the best part about, I think, that made me appreciate the movie most was that... Like, you could think about the entire plot and think about all the random things that happen. And you could, like, I could totally see a kid playing with Legos and, like, they actually do, like, just randomly say stuff or randomly say jokes. And I don't know, that's what it might be weird, but, like, that's what I caught. And I was like, oh my word, the kind of, like, plot and, like, the kind of how everything goes is so like kiddish, and you mm-hmm. could just totally imagine like, oh yeah, someone in the real world is probably just playing with these, and that's how like it all went down, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would hazard a guess that the person playing with the toys in the Lego Batman movie is still more mature than the kid playing with the Legos in the Lego movie, just yeah. because of not only all the references, but like the way the dialogue was in the Lego movie. It's like you really should have caught at the beginning that it was just some kid playing with the toys by the way the dialogue was written, in such a way that like it was very, very obvious that who you were mm-hmm. talking, that like the way they were talking to each other was just sort of like, you know, not very perfect, and it was just sort of like weird and cheesy like a kid would do.
Yeah.
And that in the Lego Batman movie, like the way that the plot was centered and the way Batman acted as a character and stuff like that all worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a little kid, but I would say an older kid. I don't know why that would matter, but that's my theory.
Yeah, an older kid who's well-knowledged in culture of superheroes and the 60s Batman.
Yeah, like maybe somewhere around like an 8 or 9 year old girl who's obsessed with Batman.
I wonder, you know how they have the Pixar theory, they're gonna like create this Lego universe theory, like which kid is playing with what in which movie or whatever,
it's
you
the
know?
Little girl from the Lego movie in the future.
That's what exactly
it, is. Like, it takes place like 6 or 7 years later, and yeah
it's gonna be
somebody's
a whole universe thing.
Get on it, Super funny. Carlin.
Yeah, right. That's, yeah. So, okay, in terms of, like, for what I was thinking, what I liked about it is that, like, it really had, like, the plot was actually, like, there was a lot of progression through the plot, because I could totally see a movie like this just kind of being stale, full of, like, jokes and, like, oh, there's, you know, like, the villain, but I thought they did a good job writing like the characters and actually the character development as like obvious that they made it seem.
Yeah,
you know,
really,
like he kind
they
of
really did a good job with that. Like it was actually like a really, not only was it like a good plot, but it was like good character arcs, and the arcs fit into the plot, and to some extent the arcs sort of were the plot.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. And it was I thought it was a pretty long movie for that. Like
it did feel like a long movie for sure.
Yeah. It definitely was kept you entertained, that's for sure.
I mean, it was entertaining, but, like, I would notice, like, wow, this movie's going on, and I like it.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
I didn't have a problem with it, that it felt long. Maybe some kids would, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think about, the, like, him watching movies, and they're actually, like, live action?
That's just
real
so funny. It was so good.
You complete me.
Actually, I think we should maybe break for a couple of seconds to talk about the plot. Also, yeah,
okay,
full
yeah.
spoilers, obviously, as we've already spoiled the movie. But, like, yeah, so basically the story centers around Batman, obviously, and he's just, I guess, you know, beating up all the villains. And then he tells Joker, basically, I don't care about you, Joker. I don't hate you, and, you know, I don't need you. And then Joker's really offended and sad. And so basically the Joker just tries to get Batman's hatred or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem people have today, seriously. It's like,
yeah.
it's a big issue that they
and,
deal
and so
with.
So Batman basically just has like issues with like making a relationship because of his parents' deaths and like
mm-hmm.
this whole thing. But it's also tied to every other Batman movie, and it makes every Batman movie fit into a timeline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It was good. He's like, I've aged, or whatever. He had that line about like how Batman has aged. Yeah, it was so good.
I thought Alfred was really funny.
I know. I thought that was cool how they like had old Batman or whatever as Alfred, and he was like,
I heard that he was actually there. Like there was Alfred Batman in the comics at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I actually,
yeah, yeah.
You know what was funny is I heard the Weekly Planet talking about that, like last
yeah.
week. And what I thought was funny about that is that they were talking about that and saying, like, oh, I wish somebody should do that in a Batman movie. But, you know, the Lego Batman movie hasn't come out in Australia yet. So it's not like they just made that as a reference to the Lego Batman movie. It's like they were just saying that. And when they see the Lego Batman movie, they'll be sweet.
The poor Australians.
Yeah, but the thing is, John Wick 2 isn't coming out, like, at all. in there in Australia. Like, there isn't like a release date.
That's sad.
Yeah. Like, they're just really not putting it out, or either they're going to put it out a lot later and they haven't even had given a release date. But the Lego Batman movie is going to come out in like their summer break or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, like, you know, with John Wick 2, though, they have to take a while to dub all the audio in Australian, right? You know, it's a long process.
They have to dub it, and, you know, you just have to get Keanu Reeves to do his best Australian accent and just dub it over him.
Yeah. The plot, though, the plot of this, so Batman is just, he's like, conflicted, but he's trying to be tough and, like, I don't need anyone, I can be... I don't know, like, he's, you know, the tough, family-less guy. He's afraid of having a family because what if he loses them again, just like he lost his parents? Which is actually, like, something real, like, a real, honest, like, that, it was almost like, wow, this movie just got kind of real because I bet that's kind of, like, I don't know, an issue, but,
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but to be honest, that, the fact that they had to do that annoyed me a little bit because... every single Batman movie, and they even made a joke about it, like, every single Batman movie is just about him having difficulties about his parents having died and whatever. And I know that's like, that's the reason Batman is Batman, but at the same time, the way that they joked about it made me be like, oh yeah, this is gonna be great. It's a Batman movie, but it's without like the constant talk about his parents dying, you know. And then this one did exactly that, but yeah, I mean, it worked for the story. But I think it would have been cool if they'd done the same sort of plot and not constantly referred back to the fact that his parents died. That's all.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that for sure.
Batman v Superman burned me out on that. With, like, how many scenes? There were, like, 3 or 4 flashback scenes to his parents dying or something stupid like that.
Sure, it's kind of like if they did that the Spider-Man remake and they did another Spider-Man origin story. We've seen enough. Yeah. We can move on and learn something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get that. I mean, but I understand where you're coming from with that. But I mean, they definitely integrated it in the fact about character development, which was his main issue. And so that I could see how that would, you know, it was really tiring. But it didn't overshadow the movie, thankfully.
No, and, definitely, you know, didn't. That was just like a little personal gripe. I don't think that was really actually a bad part of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, he deals with all this stuff about not wanting to team up with anyone because he's Batman and he's you know, solo. But Barbara Gordon is the new commissioner, and she's like, well, we need to be in the law, and Batman, if he wants, he can team up with the law and become, like, the Batman officer. And he's mad about it. And, like, in the process, he kind of ends up adopting a son or something like that.
Okay. I sort of want to talk about that one joke with Robin in that scene. I really do. Like, that was
hilarious.
Kids
can be cruel.
Kids can be cruel. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the best joke in the whole movie.
Yeah, it was definitely, definitely a funny one.
It was a bit edgy, but it went over, like, everyone's head. Like, that, you know, if they're 6 and under, so.
Yeah, and that's true.
It was well written.
I think that they couldn't pass that. You know, they had to do it. They couldn't pass that up.
Yeah. I was happy that they had the nerve to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, so then the plot continues, and basically the Joker ends up, like, turning himself in to... It's all part of his manipulative plan to get Batman to hate him, which is, you know, good for him. He's getting smarter. So, and then Batman ends up, like, putting him in the Phantom Zone, even though Barbara Gordon doesn't want him to. She's like, no, you're giving him exactly what he wants, which is true. And then they end up locking Batman and Robin. But okay, wait. We need to talk about the costume, like, picking scene. That was funny because...
Oh, yeah, that was good. It was slightly, like, ruined by the fact that it was in the trailer, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, like, I didn't know the part about, they called me Reggae Man, and then that's why he had that costume with the R on it, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was so good. Then they're in the prison, and then they realize that the Joker... I didn't know that they would actually, like, get all these villains, these, like, really big villains, and actually have them a part of the plot, and, like, not just, like, a small cameo, but they were actually, you know, against, you know, the main villains, not the main villains, but together they were pretty big villains, like Voldemort, or the Eye of Sauron, or stuff like that. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. Legos, they really have a lot of rights for different things, so, like, I mean, good for them. Yeah, I had a lot of questions about that, like
all of those they had in Legos game, in Lego games, though. Like, they had all of those things that they'd mentioned in Lego games, or, like, in Lego Dimensions or something like that, so...
That's true,
they
yeah.
They were, like, they didn't, like, go out and buy a bunch of things. It was just sort of, they like, kind of already had literally them, everything we have rights to.
Mm-hmm. And it worked, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was actually really, really cool. I like the part where he goes, and weird British robots, ask your friends.
Yes! I totally noticed that, and I was like, that's beautiful.
It was really good.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so then... Like, okay, the cube thing, that was, like, I don't know how someone... You gotta have quite the imagination to just, like, when you go into the Phantom Zone, there's just this single Lego brick with a bunch of, like, little pieces on it or whatever that just, like, analyzes. I thought that was, like, that's cool, but, like, how does someone think of that? Like, geez.
I think it's just a little girl who thinks of that because literally the only piece of Lego that she has, the only, like, little piece, the only Lego piece she has left is just... a little brick, and so she's like, okay, it's a person now.
I swear, yeah. We're gonna come up with our next podcast is gonna be like the Lego universe theory, and we're gonna start this huge craze.
I mean, it's already super meta, so it makes sense that they've almost made it a connected universe by just the way that they've made the movie. Like, you don't really need to come up with a theory like you do with Pixar. It's like, it's just part of the movie.
Yeah, you can only take it so far, just because you can only create so much off of that, even if you tried your hardest. But unless they give you something more, then that could make people go crazy. I mean, look at what Pixar did, and everyone's kind of, like, crazy over that. It's a whole fandom, you know? Like, it would be smart if they try to do something like that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the fact that they already sort of did.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, they could still kind of take it a little bit further. Because, you know, Pixar, they don't exactly really confirm much. They don't, I don't know if they confirm the Pixar, I think they confirm the Pixar theory, actually. But in terms of, like, they kind of just give hints, and then, like, they kind of made it grow a little bit more. So, I don't know, I think Lego could do that. They could kind of give us a little bit more, and then we could kind of put the pieces together almost. Put the pieces together. Lego. Yeah.
There should be some tie-in novels, and it's just like...
Exactly. Expanded universe. They're just talking about
the little kids' lives, and they just turn into, like, little chapter books that kids read about just the kids, and it doesn't have anything to do with Legos.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have a movie about, you know, the toys that each kid is playing with, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty much the Toy Story universe, except they're exclusively Legos.
That's kind of true, actually, yeah. I'm trying to think, because as I was watching it, I thought it, like, it totally had the same plot as, oh, what movie was it? But it was, like, I felt like Batman had the exact same plot, but it was opposite, because it was, I don't know, I can't remember the movie, but I thought, I don't know, which movie was it? No, I forget, riveting. But, yeah, it was riveting, and I was, like, kind of mind-blown. I'm like, it's, like, the exact same plot, but it's the opposite, because it's Batman becoming good or something like that. I don't know, sorry, I don't know why I brought it up, because I can't remember it, but... yeah, so then the Joker, his whole thing is, like, trying to, like, make Gotham blow up, destroy with the bombs. So mm-hmm. he tries that, and now that he has his awesome super team of evil people, he does that, and he's, like, he kind of succeeds. And then Batman's like, we have to flex our abs or something like that, and so they, like, all connect their heads.
That was really good. I because there are so many jokes about abs, and just then at the end of the day, abs saved the world. It was perfect. My dad was a little bit annoyed. I think he saw it, and he was annoyed that there were too many abs references. He said he would have liked it if it was just, you know, you have one or two and then a callback. My argument was more just that there are so many jokes throughout the entire movie that, like, one joke about abs would be, like, so easily missed that, like, you mm-hmm. might need to do it, like, maybe mention it a few more times just to make sure, like, the little kids got it so they got what happened at the end, you know?
Yeah, it's true. But okay, I just remembered, sorry. But there was the reference, this is a way more obvious reference, but this is when I really appreciated we're gonna punch these guys so hard that you can't even comprehend that they have to put words on the screen or whatever. And that so as funny. They were punching them, it was like pow, and it was totally a throwback to the 60s, you know, show. And so and like the words, like some of the even the words like were just complete gibberish, and it was just great. So yeah, and so but back to the heads thing, they connected their heads to make like a bridge so that they could like reconnect Gotham because it was split in half. And then the Joker was like, because Batman had to finally admit his true feelings that he does hate the Joker, and so funny. Then they connect their heads or something, and then they like squeeze, and then they like flex, and then it like connects Gotham back, because it will, and then like a bunch of other random citizens did the same thing, and they're all like, yay! It was great though how it was like it took them all this time. It was like slowly like closing up, and then all of a sudden it was like a little snap. And it was like, oh, yay, okay, yay. It was funny.
Yeah, it was super... again, that sort of plays into the meta-ness, is that, like, you know, the girls, like, holding up, you know, the action, all the Lego guys together and everything, and then she's, like, holding them, and it's like, it's getting closer, and then she just clicks it into place.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was really good. And then it ends, I think, because they're... Oh, he has to... He puts all all the villains back in the Phantom Zone because they had all escaped because of the Joker. I don't know if we explained that, but I was actually, wait, did I miss something? Because oh yeah, okay, because when
you missed the Batman, part where Batman was punching Bane, because that was funny.
Wait, oh yeah, yeah, I actually kind of remember that. But wait, but earlier in the movie, Batman had got sent to the Phantom Zone because, and then. I think it was because the Joker sent him there, or like shot him with the phantom projector thing,
yeah.
Or he did it himself or something like that. And then so he, the Joker did.
And then he convinces the brick to let him out of the Phantom Zone to stop them, basically. And then he'll put them all back in there, and then he'll return because the brick analyzes him and says, no, you're a bad guy too.
Yeah. So then it was really deep. And so once he gets all the villains back and he tries to project himself into the Phantom Zone, it like blocks him or whatever, and the brick comes out and it's all like, oh yeah, you're not a villain because you actually sacrificed yourself and you actually were honest and put yourself back wanting to put yourself back in the Phantom Zone or something like that. So yay, happy ending. And then there was a song about how
the worst song ever,
friends are your family, and it was great though because it was like, can I play my song? Can I play my song? And he's like, no. And then he's like, okay, but, and they're like, white screen to end all the greatest of all great movies with a really bad poppy song that makes the parents of the little kids and the executives of movie studios, happy or something like that. And then that's how it ends.
And then they do the song. I can't many parents or executives getting happy by that song, because it was just so annoying.
It was like, really,
it was intentionally poppy and bad, and so I can appreciate what they were doing there, but it like it hurt me. Like I didn't like I wanted to get out of the theater as fast as possible because that song drove me nuts.
I mean, I think they kind of like they did it so it was a win-win scenario for the people who actually enjoyed the song and for the people who hated it, because you know, like, you can't say, oh, why did they do that? Well, they announced that they were going to do it and that it was, like, going to be a really poppy song. And so there was humor in that.
Yeah.
And for the people that didn't really care, and they're like, yeah, that was a cool song. Yay, it ended the movie. You know, so it was really a win-win for them. There's no way they can lose.
Yeah, they did a good job with that. Hashtag, it was pretty good. Which is, I think that'll be the hashtag of the episode, just because. That's the only thing I've been saying this entire time. Hashtag, it was pretty good.
Remember that part when Batman
was playing like some weird music and he was driving towards the Joker or something, and the Joker stops for a second and he's like, wait a minute, who's playing those funky beats?
Yes!
Like this really serious tone that like, yes! I died. I was just rolling on the floor laughing just hysterically. That was just so funny.
It was great. Yeah, it was really, it was, I don't know, it was perfect. It was literally just perfect.
That was just, Yeah, I think he was a good Joker. I really do. I think Zach Galifianakis. Yeah.
Zach no one can say his name.
Zach Galifianakis.
No, Zach Galifianakis.
You sure?
Zach Galifianakis. You can Google it, but I memorized his name. I was dedicated.
Galifianakis. I'm pretty sure Galifianakis, but you know.
I could be totally wrong and just kind of created that last part to sound even more fancy, but
okay, hashtag Galifianakis.
Yeah, Zach Galifianakis. Maybe. I might be totally wrong, but who cares? He was a great Joker, yeah. Zach Galifianakis Joker or Luke Skywalker Joker?
Well, I don't really think there's much room for debate. Well, here's the thing. Mark Hamill did a good job, like, being, like, creepy and jokery. Zach Galifianakis or Galifianakis, whatever the heck it is, he wasn't exactly very, like, creepy and jokery, but he played
comparable.
No, but he played a good character. Like, he did a good job with the voice acting, and he did a good job doing the character. It wasn't super, I guess, jokery. If that makes any sense. But it was still really good. Yeah,
that makes sense. It worked, though. Just the genre of movie they were trying to go for.
It was perfect.
With the Batman movie. It was out there, and I loved it. Yeah. I have a question, though, because did they play the Lego Ninjago movie trailer before the Lego Batman movie at your theater that you saw it at?
I think they might have, yeah.
Okay, because I saw that, and I'm like, that's going to be the next installment in the Lego movie universe, I guess. And I know that it is. And it definitely Ninjago wasn't as popular, of course. Definitely not as popular as Batman.
Well, as Batman as a whole, but like it was really popular for Lego.
Yeah, definitely. They had their own TV show or something on the Cartoon Network, I think.
Yeah, it was super, super, super successful, yeah.
It was. I don't know how successful it's going to be in the box office, but I don't know. I think that's coming out next year or something. I think it might be next year.
They actually do have a big following, so I think it might do all right. I mean, I'll just see it because it's one of those Lego movies, but yeah, I doubt Phil Lord and Chris Miller are going to be heading it because or have any part of it because, you know, they're working obviously on a Han Solo movie, so.
yeah. Han Solo, gotta go back to Star Wars.
I wasn't trying to go back to Star Wars. I was just saying I don't think it'd be as good because it doesn't have them in it because they're working on just what happens to be the only thing I talk about.
It's very true, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's all great.
No, there's nothing wrong with it, and I'm perfect, and I'm beautiful the way I am, so leave it alone. Haters gonna hate. Yeah.
But okay, the Lego Ninjago trailer, honestly, it looked pretty appealing. It looked like it didn't look like, okay, I don't know, but I had mixed feelings about it because part of me was like, oh no, is it going to be like a kind of a really cringy Lego movie or is it going to be like, you know, up there with the Batman level Lego movie?
Wait. I'm remembering now because I'm still trying to picture the trailer in my head. We were we were walking into the theater in the middle of the trailer, so I think I pretty much just missed almost all of it. That's why I don't have much faith in it. Because I just saw the bit when I was walking into the theater.
Okay, I want you to after we record this, I really want you to see it and I want to hear your opinion because I was never like Lego Ninjago. I don't even know like what that really is. Never really got into it or explored what it is. But the trailer, like I don't know. I laughed a couple times. I thought that it was actually pretty good. So I mean, trailers can only go so far as to tell how good the movie is. But I'd go see it in the theaters for sure.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'll go see it. I just don't have faith in it because I haven't seen the trailer.
Well, you're going to watch the trailer, and you're going to tell me your opinions, okay?
Indeed, I will. Okay, I will. Yes, it will happen. You'll be satisfied. Did your theater give out a Lego set?
What? No.
My theater had promotional Lego sets for everyone who went to see the movie.
No, your theater's so cool.
I mean, I went to see it in IMAX 3D.
It was opening weekend on IMAX 3D. We went to see it in IMAX 3D
with the leather seats and everything.
Okay, well, we had leather seats. It just wasn't in IMAX 3D.
Okay.
But
well, I guess we did a little bit better than you.
Yeah. Well, okay.
In terms of our viewing experience, but I did not wear my glasses. I forgot to wear my glasses, and so
what?
I probably missed a lot of the visuals. Like, it was super blurry.
Wait a minute. How did you forget to wear your glasses?
I don't know. I just was there at the theater, and I was like, wait, I'm not wearing my glasses. Crap, everything is so blurry.
Wait, did you like halfway through the movie or like towards the beginning did you realize that?
It was before we got into the theater. Like, we were right outside the AMC and I was gonna like push in my glasses and then I was like, wait, I'm not wearing glasses.
Oh, okay. For some reason I thought you meant you didn't wear your 3D glasses.
No. I didn't have my actual glasses. I had the 3D glasses.
Okay.
I just didn't have the actual glasses. So I'm like, it was more than just blurry. It was like just impossible to see.
I'm like, who forgets to put on their 3D glasses when they go to an IMAX 3D show?
I didn't forget my 3D glasses. I forgot the actual glasses I need to see.
Yeah. All right. That makes a little bit more sense. But yeah.
Doesn't it make even less sense? Like, I wasn't wearing the things that help me see. Like, it's not like I can drive without them or anything like that. Like, I do have very bad eyesight. It was very blurry. I don't know how I didn't realize I wasn't wearing glasses, but, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, I mean, I think we can both agree that we really enjoyed the Lego Batman movie. Is there any, like, last words that we'd like to say about it or anything that we also appreciated or any other references we want to mention?
Who's playing those funky beats?
Yeah, that's going to be a legendary line for us, I bet.
Hashtag who's playing those funky beats.
Yes, the second hashtag of the episode.
That's the third hashtag. Send us all of the hashtags. Hashtag it was pretty good. Hashtag Galifianakalys.
Yes.
And hashtag who's playing those funky beats.
Yeah. On our Twitter, those, right? On our Twitter.
Tweet those to at GoshDanielPod.
Mm-hmm.
And not only will we respond, but you'll also get a tweet from Daniel's account sending you a random drawing.
What?
Just a random picture of a random drawing.
No, I can't.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
No, you
if
will.
If we're that
that's
desperate.
That's what you will do.
Okay,
we have still desperate. Never gotten a tweet.
Okay, that's true. I guess
however,
we are that desperate.
However, we have people who view our tweets. We just don't have anybody tweeting us.
I mean, they'll That's probably okay. be really, really bad drawings, but it's a drawing from the Daniel.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And it'll be amazing. Yeah, you'll be happy just to know
exactly.
He thought of it.
So yeah. Speaking of our social medias, I guess
you can also get drawings though. You can also get drawings, more specific drawings catered to you, even profile pictures and banners if you donate. About $5 to the Patreon.
A month.
Patreon.com/GoshDaniel.
If you become a patron of $5, yes. Yes.
$5 a month, yeah. If you give $1 a month, you get access to the feed. You get your name shouted out at the end of each episode, like Myron and our new patron, Hunt the Bunt Gunter. you'll get a shout out just like those two. And
aren't we supposed to say their last
$3
names,
a month
though, so
exclusive
it's like
podcast. Myron Smith, Hunt the Bunt Gunter Schmunter.
Okay, cool.
Yep. Those are the names. I think we didn't draw enough attention to the fact that, you know, if we have a patron who gives $3 a month or more, there's an exclusive bi-weekly podcast. So
what?
Not only will you get this podcast that you're already getting every week, but you'll also get another one every other week. So you'll have two some weeks.
That's insane.
That would be pretty cool, huh? Yeah, it is insane. It's not just insane, but it's really cool. And it's a little bit more personable. So, you know.
Personable.
Like we're not going to be so professional. I mean, I know you're thinking to yourself,
what?
You know what? I wish the Gosh Daniel podcast wasn't so professional. It's exactly. just so professional. That's what you're thinking. But, precisely. You know, if you give to the Patreon, you'll get to hear us not being professional.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We can have better sound quality, but we can also have worse sound quality if we want to. Oh, and okay. We can also have other guests, and we can do a bunch of other things on this exclusive podcast that we will not create until we get at least one person giving us $3 a month.
I mean,
so currently what we're saying is all just a bluff, but you know, you just have to call us on our bluff and see if, you know, see if it's actually really a bluff or if it just appears to be one.
No, we will. We will honor our promise.
I'm saying we will, but you might be saying we won't. And that's why you need to donate to see if we actually will.
Exactly. Yes. Test us. Okay. Test us.
Yeah. Please test us. We just want to be tested.
All right. Okay? You can also find us.
Yeah. We're on. Yeah.
You can also find us on. Well, okay. It all depends where you're listening. But
do go on.
We got to love the references. We are on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher. We can't forget Stitcher. Stitcher's a good podcast place, too.
Love Stitcher. Stitcher's an amazing place. I love it.
Yes.
They're really annoying. To you know, update things on there, and sometimes it doesn't work, but I love it. I can't express to you enough how much I love Stitcher. And if anybody is listening to us on Stitcher, then you know you're a very unique person. You know, you're probably just somebody who, you know, doesn't fit in with the regular mold. You're just you are probably just a cooler person than us iTunes and YouTube people. Now if you're on iTunes, you're probably just cooler than the YouTube people. And if you're on YouTube, maybe that's all you got.
Whoa, yeah.
We're cool with that, you know?
Yeah, that's why we try
We love you guys.
We try to give out to all the people, okay? We don't know your circumstances right now, and we just want to give out as much as we can, all right?
We can't possibly know what you're feeling. We don't know what you're going through right now, but we do know this. Whatever you're listening to this on, we sound great.
I'm sure we do. All right. Does that conclude this 8th episode, I believe, of the Gosh Daniel podcast?
You could say 8th episode, but you also could say 9th episode. We did have a vault episode yesterday.
Vault episode.
Not yesterday, last week.
I'm sorry, yes, last week.
We are not recording this really close to the release of the podcast. We're not doing that.
Nope.
It's not a thing. We're not doing it, and we promise that. Also,
yes.
I just want to say... Just for the record, that the two most important people in my life right now are Myron Smith and Hunt the Bunt Gunter Schmunter. seriously, guys, you guys are the best. I know we already gave you a shout out, and that was all you deserved. But
you're double the only shout two, out.
You're the only two patrons, so we love you even more. We love you even more. You're not only the greatest human beings, you're our best friends.
Yep,
you're our best friends. And, you know, we love you. And if I saw either of you guys out on the street and a car was coming and I recognized you guys, I'd push you out of the way and die myself. I would go and die for you. I would die for you because of that $1 a month.
It's good to know that Bob would make the ultimate sacrifice.
I love you.
We appreciate our patrons very much and all of our listeners and our friends and which are our family, if we remember from the beginning.
No, our family is our... Our friends are our family, or is our family our friends?
I think it's like an equal type thing. It's like equivalent, like, you know, the friends equals the family, but the family also equals the friends, too, so...
But is our friends only family if you don't have a family?
That could be it, considering the circumstances of Robin and Batman, maybe.
I feel like that is a distinct possibility that we cannot rule out.
That's hard. We're definitely going to have to make another episode just talking about that that whole conspiracy.
But what
right
if
there.
You don't like your family? Does that count as not having a family?
You know, I think...
I think you just need to assess these things because I know how you feel about your family, Daniel. I know.
What? Excuse me?
I know how you feel.
But
I also know that your parents do not listen to this podcast. But if they are, then, you know, you're doing something, guys.
Hey,
you might want to evaluate that.
My aunt listened to an episode, okay? So shout out to her again, the one who took me to the movie theater.
No, I'm not talking about the aunt. Okay. I've never met you, Aunt, but you are probably the most amazing and legendary human being on this planet, and I do thank you for taking the young chap to see a movie for the podcast. For the sake of the podcast. Might not have been your intention for
yeah,
the
podcast, let's go with that.
But even still, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And for the parents that will eventually hear this podcast.
Hopefully.
You guys know I'm joking. So no harm done.
Yay.
We're all best friends.
Well, then.
Because other people's family are our friends. Wait. Other families is our family's friends. Our friend family. You know what? I don't even know. All I know is that I feel a kinship to you guys in a way I can't express, as I do to our patrons, Myron Smith
and Gunter
Schmunter.
It's time to let these people go. Come on.
But here's the thing: is that once you guys go, I don't have anyone. I just need more friends because I don't have a family.
Oh my word!
I need the family, the friends of the family, and when you guys go, I'm left alone, and I don't want to be alone.
Well, I think that ultimately we can learn that we need to make friends that are our family members, and this relates to the Lego Batman movie.
My siblings are the only friends I need.
That's a reference, and that's really great. This is amazing.
Also a reference, yes.
And I really love references, but
that's why you loved the Lego Batman movie, right?
Yeah. So in conclusion, Lego Batman movie is great. We have amazing Patreons, and go tweet us. All right. Sweet. Thank you.
We only have one Patreon, but we do have amazing patrons.
Oh, I'm sorry. I say Patreons. I am okay.
It's because you're wrong. That's all.
It's because I'm wrong. I need to learn patrons. Patrons. I can say it. Patrons. We have amazing patrons.
And, you know, and go tweet I give us. It a 17 out of 18 Lego pigs, which is our official rating system. And oh, yeah. You, Daniel, you gave a 16.7 out of 18 Lego pigs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It's so far the highest rated movie. I mean, we could go back and rate the other movies we talked about. Like, for example, Rogue One. I would also give a 17 out of 18 Lego pigs.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely give Rogue One a 17 out of 18 pigs, Lego pigs.
I liked them. I wouldn't say I liked them equally, no. I mean, I might give Rogue One a little bit higher, but I'm not so fond of decimals as you are.
I love my decimals, okay?
It's weird.
It is very weird. And you know what else is very weird?
We've already got a weird fraction. It's 17 out of 18. Like, who does something out of 18? Why do you need to add decimals into it?
Gotta make it more complicated. That's what the Daniel does.
The Daniel does what the Daniel should not. So.
Okay. Well, I think that...
I'm just trying to get us to an hour.
I know. I'm trying to not get us to an hour. I'm trying to not get us to an hour. Okay.
Well, maybe I'll get us to 55 minutes.
This is going to be our third close of the podcast. All right. Thank you for listening. Okay. Conclusion.
Wait. Can we restart that whole...
Nope.
Can we restart that ending? Because I didn't think it worked. Here. Okay,
no.
I'll end
no,
it.
No.
In conclusion, 17 out of 18 Lego pigs and 16.7 out of 18 Lego pigs. We liked the movie. It was good. We liked the references. Thank you to our patrons, Myron Smith and Hunt the Bun Gunter Smunter. Schmunter. Pardon. And that's the end of the podcast. So see you guys next Tuesday.
Thank you.
And unless you give to the Patreon.
Goodbye. Next Monday night or Tuesday. Okay, we have to remember that.
Yeah. Tweet us.
And have a great day or night. Okay, bye. Yeah.
Have a great night. Bye.